in the pistol with Barkley behind him. Mutabetti gives it to Barkley. He gives it to Barkley, who cuts outside. He's at the 40, the 50, the 40. He's going to go again. He's going to go again. Touchdown, Saquon Barkley. His all-time record, 72 yards.
Who else? Mel Reese playing a little fortune teller there. Knew it was coming. That was one of two 70-plus yard touchdown runs for Saquon Barkley last night. Eagles cruise. We got a happy Andrew Perloff this morning. What's up? You got an MVP candidate as your running back.
I have an issue, Maggie.
Oh, how do you have an issue? We're 40 seconds into the show.
So it seems like it's all good. Immediately, I had to last night kick into logistics mode. Now I have to see if I can get a ticket for my dad to the Super Bowl. I've got to get the whole family down there.
Wow.
There's the parade on Broad Street and what it's going to do to traffic. I mean, this is like, after last night, the picture has changed. All right, I was actually down on the Eagles. Like, this is now Super Bowl or bust, because as long as Saquon Barkley stays healthy and Jalen Hurts keeps playing like this and seeing the field like he is, oh my God, this team's impossible to stop. Like, you know that moment when you're like, okay, the goal just changed. The goalpost just changed. Like,
whoa.
I thought the Eagles were good, and now
Super Bowl. I didn't think you were going to go Super Bowl. Seven straight wins for the Eagles. Yeah. Obviously, last night you go on the road into L.A. and you just completely throttled the L.A. Rams.
Like, not a bad team. The Rams, to their defense, came right down the field on the first drive and fumbled at the 10-yard line like they always do. So, and they made the Rams look like a JV team last night.
It was weird because the Rams defense kind of started off, I would say dominating, but the Rams defense looked amazing. You had, who was it?
Braden Fisk
just trucking Jordan Mailata. People are like, you know, Jordan Mailata 6'8", 320 or whatever.
Sorry, it was Jared Verse who trucked Mailata, yeah.
And it looked like the Rams defense was going to completely put their stamp on this game. And then something just changed in the second quarter. All of a sudden, Matthew Stafford was having trouble getting the ball out quick enough. It was like he was getting smothered by the Eagles defense. Just an amazing flip of the script, where all of a sudden Philadelphia's defense started imposing their will. And obviously we know about the Eagles offensive line. They were just leaning on the Rams, and Saquon Barkley did the rest.
Yeah, I mean, there was the second 70-yard touchdown. You mentioned 270-yard.
Yeah.
I don't think he was. Was he touched the entire time? That line just makes the Red Sea part in front of him. They are fantastic. And he looks faster to me.
So fast, I was going
to
say.
Yeah. Now, how many years in? Usually a running back might start to show some wear and tear at this point. He looks more explosive than he did as a Giant.
26 carries, 255 yards, two touchdowns. That's Saquon Barkley's line for last night. And also four catches, 47 yards, including a 31-yard gain. Here's the thing. You know, it's predictable, and we should be talking about Saquon Barkley being an MVP candidate. And I get that Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen are the quarterbacks who are in front of him, and that's probably going to be hard for him to surpass. But
I don't know.
I don't know either, because you got the Eagles are going to be playing the Ravens in their next game, and let's see what happens in that game, because that could be the difference between, all right, maybe Saquon Barkley really this becomes a thing to be the first running back to win the MVP since 2011. But to your point, 2012. But to your point, now the goals for the Eagles is just so much bigger, and it looks like you and maybe the Green Bay Packers, yes, the Green Bay Packers, are going to be the two biggest threats or challengers to the Detroit Lions, who are just steamrolling.
Huh, and now that I think about it, what do the Green Bay Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles have in common? What did they add this offseason? Former New York Giants.
Xavier McKinney,
Defensive Player of the Year. Saquon Barkley, Offensive Player of the Year. Thank you, New York Giants. Just keep on feeding the rest of the conference. Do one thing about it. Saquon and the MVP, like Adrian Peterson, could easily hit 2,000 yards, and I think that immediately changes the conversation. If Saquon hits 2,000 yards and they have the one or the two seed, he's a very, very strong candidate. It's so funny. And, like, fast forward, the Eagles and the Lions, the NFC title game, you got probably the two most talented players in the NFC are both running backs, Saquon Barkley and Jahmyr Gibbs. Yep. It's incredible, the renaissance of running backs, who you and I, at least I, have buried a decade ago. It's like you can't win with running backs. And now, last year, McCaffrey did it with the Niners, and now it's Saquon Barkley being the key to the Eagles.
It's so right. And honestly, Saquon Barkley and every running back after Saquon Barkley, I want to say, kind of owes him a debt of gratitude. Maybe Christian McCaffrey, too, for running backs getting second contracts. Yeah. Because You know, Manny, you actually had a good tweet last night that said, whoever thought Saquon Barkley was running for 255 yards behind the Giants offensive line is out of their mind. He's on the right team and the perfect team to showcase his skill, and he's making the most of it. And I think this will have an impact on whether or not running backs get second contracts because nobody was getting them. And if I were to say the two biggest storylines, I think, from the 2024 season, as we are, 11 weeks in, we got Monday Night Football tonight, it's running backs reemergence and special teams is like easily the most important phase of the game. And now if your kicker is bad or your special teams unit, blocking kicks, blocking punts, being stupid on onside kicks, missing point after attempts, these are the two big themes to me that have emerged in this season. It's running game and special teams will cost you a shot at the playoffs.
I would add a third that is quite subtle, but illegal procedure penalties taking away touchdowns. That decided the Texans game for sure. The emphasis on illegal procedure has changed the game. It's kind of gutted offenses a little bit. So I think that's why this season looks like, and you mentioned especially, everything's a mess.
Yesterday was the goofiest day.
Yes, and it's getting messier and messier, and I think that's why you're seeing chaos. It's funny, college football is the same way, too. The utter chaos.
But college, we expect it.
You're right. Now NFL feels like, you're obviously referring to that Cowboys-Commanders game. Like, that felt like a college game.
Bears-Vikings.
Yeah, that's so funny. So the two themes are running backs and special teams.
Special teams is such an adventure in this league now.
That's really interesting. I got to think about that. I hadn't thought about it. Feels like there's got to be some quarterback theme in here.
I don't know, Josh Allen. Quarterback's the theme this year. I think running back's the theme, and I think special teams is the theme. And the theme now is the Eagles being a legit Super Bowl contender. And it's funny because I think we're hesitant to say this about the Eagles because we saw them get off to a 10-1 start. Like, winning streaks are not your problem, Pearl, as the Eagle fan on the show. But now this was a statement win for sure. A couple in a row. Where Dallas was a whitewash, although Dak Prescott wasn't there. Washington felt like easy. Final score was 26-18. And now you just really convincingly beat the Rams. And besides, again, the Packers, who had a nice win yesterday against a totally gutted San Francisco 49er team, it's clear that the top three NFC teams, and who's going to have a say in this, is the Lions going away because they can't be touched right now. And then your Eagles and then the Packers.
Yeah, so by saying that, you're dismissing the Vikings? 9-2.
It's not that I'm dismissing the Vikings.
Sure sounds like you're dismissing the Vikings.
I guess I kind of am. Just because, I think they're a Super Bowl contender? Like you said, we're moving the goalposts now today. Yep. And now I'm looking at Super Bowl contenders, and I really think there are those three. And maybe I'll come back to bite my
I totally agree with you. And it's interesting, too. The Niners are nowhere near that conversation. And they were, obviously, coming into the season.
No, the Niners, you're 5-6 right now. Your chance to make the playoffs are hovering around 20%. And last night, you took a knife to a gunfight. And it wasn't even about the quarterback, Brandon Allen. It's not that he was so bad. It's just the team was bad in every phase.
Yeah, that's true. Although Brandon Allen was pretty bad. Like, Brandon Allen was consistently a foot behind every receiver.
Backup quarterback going into Lambeau.
Yeah, the big story of the Niners is their defense. All of a sudden, it was falling. Now it's fallen over the cliff.
Well, without Bosa, it's considerably harder. And they need a shakeup on defense. So talking about the NFC, I see why you're so excited about your Eagles.
It does worry me. Saquon's already got a career high in rushing yards through 11 games, and he's closing in on a career high in carries. I'm curious if the Eagles manage him a little bit. If they don't think they can catch the Lions for the one seed, do they start? He had a lot of carries last night. It feels like McCaffrey last year. The Niners are like, you know what? We're going to run you into the ground, and we know you're probably not going to be good next year. They are running Saquon into the ground. So you get into a little bit of a, what do they call the NFL? It's a war of attrition. You get into the war of attrition point where I think you're going to see the Lions and the Eagles start to manage their team for the playoffs.
Well, things are breaking right for you too, especially in the division. So you're 9-2. Washington is next at 7-5, and you already have one win over them. So at Baltimore next week, maybe that's a statement game because you want to showcase Barkley and maybe the MVP stuff is real there. But then Carolina, Pittsburgh, and then at Washington, Dallas, the New York Giants. Like, the NFC East is just really faded away. And the thing about the Commanders, we'll get into that ridiculous game. they end up putting a lot of points on the board, and Jaden Daniels had probably had his best drive of the season, but they couldn't get anything going before that. And so I don't think the Commanders are really the legitimate threat that we thought they were in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a rib injury. Post-injury, Jaden, his numbers were just tanked completely. Yeah. He's a totally different quarterback. That being said, I guess we probably got ahead of our skis on the Commanders.
Everyone
considering they have a new
coach.
Right. They have a new coach, and they gutted a roster and brought in some older free agents. Their roster is not a three-seed roster. I think they were playing over their head a little bit.
855-212-4227, the NFC. We can get it started with that. Eagles look like contenders now. Just really dominant. And I'm not trying to make it about the Giants, and I know Manny's here, and he's got his hands arms folded in front of him, and he's feeling all salty. Yesterday was not a good day for the Giants, and it didn't help that when you got to Sunday Night Football, it's like Melissa Stark, the sideline reporter, just doing multiple reports about how happy Saquon Barkley is. Like, that's what you didn't need. We already know he's playing great. He's on track to break Eric Dickerson's single-season rushing record, albeit with a 17th game. We didn't need the Saquon, I'm finally feel like I'm myself again. And then the 270-yard touchdowns.
Yeah, but you moved up in draft order. I mean, where the Cowboys are ruining their tank. You could make the, I mean, what do you care? What, honestly, Manny, you should be happy with that outcome.
You have 30 yards of passing at halftime.
This is good. That's a good loss, right? I mean, like, if you're going to tank, do it this way. Don't get Tommy DeVito killed on the first play from scrimmage. That would be... But I, there's nothing
Baker
to be sad
Mayfield
about.
Baker Mayfield trolling the Giants with the
this
the
is great,
capiche.
Guys. This is wonderful. This
I feel like
wonderful.
The Giants are now really making a play for number one.
No, I love football. Football is fun. Football is the bane of my existence. No, yesterday was not a good day. But again, like I tweeted at 3:30 Eastern time, you know, it is what it is. Because at the end of the day, I don't think Saquon would ever rush for 250 yards in front of the offensive line that the Giants have.
Well, also, there was another really glaring difference between the Eagles and the Giants is that the Eagles haven't quit. The Giants quit yesterday. Their defense no-showed. Baker Mayfield was trolling you.
I think the Giants quit weeks ago.
Maybe this was the corpse of the Giants quitting again. But it's not about the Giants today, although it might be if they get the number one overall pick. I think the Raiders are really careening towards as well. Because Gardner Minshew broke his collarbone yesterday. Aiden O'Connell can, I guess, come back with a broken thumb now. Desmond Ridder. This is a team that could be getting the number one pick.
The Raiders are the 72 Dolphins compared to the New York Giants. There's no way. The Raiders were in that. It was 16. Like, the Raiders were in every single game.
There's no way the Giants. So the other team, Jacksonville, by tiebreaker as the number one pick. Trevor Lawrence coming back there.
I think Perloff's microphone is going in and out, but I'll just let you know, he's ranting and raving against the Giants. 855-212-4227. Having some mic issues. But I want to make sure you're... line of the Raiders are the 72 Dolphins compared to the Giants. That's pretty funny. Yeah, lots of bad things happening. We'll get to the star wide receiver calling the Giants soft and their best defensive player also saying that the team is soft. It's like, hey guys, you know, you have a little something to do with that, right? Like, the players on the team have a little something to do with whether or not the team plays soft. They do realize that. That's not just a coaching thing. You guys can choose to not be soft.
Well, wide receivers can't choose to do anything because they need the targets, Maggie.
That is true. Malik Nabers was very, very clear about that. 855-212-4227. Saquon Barkley as MVP. What do you think about that? And the Eagles now as the biggest threat. Or maybe here's a question, EJ. Who's the biggest threat to the Lions right now? Is it the Packers or is it the Eagles? What do you think about that?
I would actually, let me word it a different way. Who's the biggest threat to the Eagles? Is the Lions or the Packers?
We're not.
What's the difference?
We're not doing it that way.
One game separation, and the Lions are in this crazy division. I think the Eagles have their eyes on the number one seed. I refuse this poll.
No, I don't care if Perloff is protesting this poll. The Lions are definitely the better team. They're the class of the NFC.
Why are they? Wait.
They're blowing teams out.
They beat the Colts 24-6. Big deal. They're not definitely the better team. That's crazy. They're marginally better.
Okay. I mean, how many polls do you want to put up in the first 15 minutes?
Has Dan Campbell been to a Super Bowl, or has Nick Sirianni been to a Super Bowl?
Nick Sirianni. By the way, I agree with Chris Collinsworth, and just to get into the weeds a little bit on a moment from last night, where there was a penalty on the Rams that happened in the red zone. and it would have either been a third and 10 or a fourth and 2. What was it? It was either a third and 13, excuse me, or it would have been a third and 12 or a fourth and 2. Uh-huh. Can I do math? A third and 12 or a fourth and 2 in the red zone. And first, Nick Sirianni declines the penalty and makes it a fourth and 2. So they all line up and they're about to snap the ball. And he goes, no, wait, actually, I want to accept the penalty and make it a third and 12. I'm with Chris Collinsworth. You should be able to do that. You screwed up. And listen, they end up, I think, sacking Matthew Stafford on that play anyway. But that is totally not right. You denied the penalty. It should have been fourth and 2. You should have to live with that. Not say, sorry, I screwed up. Now it's got to be a third and 12.
Mike Tomlin did it also on Thursday Night Football.
I don't like it. And it confuses the hell out of everybody.
What about when Nick Sirianni threw the challenge flag, they didn't see it and ran a play and went back and gave him the challenge?
Again.
Who cares? Well, you're nitpicking.
Saquon
Barkley ran for 255 yards. The officials had nothing to do with that outcome.
855-212-4227. All right, lots more to do. College football is going to take center stage today. I mean, we've got some crazy finishes in the NFL, the Cowboys and Commanders, obviously the Vikings and the Bears. But college football was the star this weekend. Wild stuff. The day delivered from start to finish. So we're going to get to that. 855-212-4227. Like always on a Monday, we're going to try to get to everything. But if we don't, call us. You want to talk about your team? Give us a ring. Again, 855-212-4227. All right, Perloff. Big weekend. Huge weekend for Prize Picks. And I'm not winning with our regular picks, but Prize Picks is where I'm absolutely killing it because it's so easy to get up to 100 times your money. What do you do? Download the Prize Picks app. It's simple to do. Then you just pick two or more players across any sport. You pick more or less on their projection, and that's where the 100 times your money comes in. The best thing also, flex play. I know you're a fan. That's where you can cash out even if one of your picks doesn't hit.
You know, it's great too, Maggie. You got the Ravens tonight. I love picking Lamar Jackson to go over on everything.
Yep.
And you have basketball. It is the best time of year because you have so many major sports every night except Wednesday when I have to really dig deep and get into e-gaming. But no, it is
great.
You're
an expert now.
There's so many picks that I'm in on tonight. This is so much fun. It makes the game so much more fun. All you have to do is download the Prize Picks app today and use the code MNP, and you get a $50 credit instantly when you play just $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. So we've already had a successful Hail Mary. We've had block punts, block kicks. I think the missed extra points yesterday, there were about 14 of them left yesterday, Maggie. What is going on? Why cannot people execute?
I
blame NIL.
I blame the SEC. Yeah, I don't know. It's like it's the low snaps, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know.
Something's wrong with special teams. It's the mispractice time. I don't know what it is. Because it was, you know, you were looking at that Washington Commanders Dallas Cowboys game, which was one of the silliest, thrilling, yet stupid fourth quarters I think we've ever seen in the NFL. Not to be like a recency bias person, but that one was all time weird. And there was no weather. It was not raining. It wasn't all the things you generally point to when weird stuff happens. None of that was happening in that game. It was just pure idiocy.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. Again, it kind of hurts the Cowboys. Cowboys are supposed to be tanking. They didn't even send most of their players to Washington, and they still they dominated that game in a weird way. Not dominated, but they actually deserved the win. They deserved it. It wasn't a fluke win. And I don't know what they're doing. Like, what, are they going to try and make a playoff run here with Cooper Rush, Maggie?
That's just ridiculous. But okay, started with a fumble, right? So the score is 13-9. I know a lot of you guys watch this game, but it's 13-9. So then it's a fumble that leads to a Dallas touchdown. So now it's Dallas is up 20-19. Then, of course, the Commanders answer with a touchdown of their own. Now it's 20-15. And then, of course, what happens right after that? Well, that would be, can we hear it, Manny, the Kevontae Turpin? This one, you're like, all right, maybe this is Dallas's day. Maybe they just can't be stopped because the Jaden Daniels had just put together one of the great drives that you're going to see by a rookie or by any quarterback. It ended with a Zach Ertz touchdown. Again, that's what made it 20-15. And you're thinking, oh man, here comes Jaden Daniels. This is all-timer. And then they kick off to Kevontae Turpin. Why are they kicking to this guy?
Turpin fields the kick, deep dances and running it out. Left to the 30, to the 40, to midfield. Turpin's got the Jets going. 10-5. Touchdown by the league's leading kickoff returner. And everybody's hanky is in its pocket.
It's okay. Brad Sham on Cowboys Radio. And the weird part is he kind of muffed it at first.
Yeah, and then he hit the spin too early on the button. He spun. He did a 360 spin, which was amazing, about 9 yards before contact. And I think that threw off the Commanders. They're like, what is this guy doing? He's crazy. And it worked.
It was like they stopped playing for a second, yeah, I think, when he muffed it and then did the slow-mo 360. It was crazy.
It wasn't slow-mo.
Yeah,
I mean, that guy.
Slow-mo about that, man.
Well, oh, man, he hits a jet out of that spin. He is crazy.
No, he's got the speed. Yeah. To me, the slow-mo felt like it was a little bit in. The 360 felt like it was a little bit in slow-mo, and then he turned it on.
I agree, though. I think the Commanders were watching that. They're like, wait, what's happening here? They, like, stopped to spectate for a second.
So then here come the Commanders, and Austin Seibert, their kicker, nails a 51-yarder. You're like, all right, this is not over, right? So got plenty of time here. It was about under 2 minutes left to go, and now you're down by a touchdown. So what do the Cowboys do? They go 3-and-out. All right, this is what happens next. Commanders get the ball back. First play from scrimmage. It's 1st and 10 at Washington's own 14.
Empty backfield is how it starts for Daniels. Here's the snap. Dallas just brings three. He's able to step up. Lobs one over to Terry McLaurin, who's open. 45-50. 45-40. Turns on the Jets. He's gone. Touchdown. Touchdown Washington. They've done it again. Another miracle in Landover.
Bram Weinstein on Commanders Radio Network. So that's an 86-yarder. So that would have been, I don't know, it's not a Hail Mary, but it would have been the second craziest end of game Jaden Daniels to Terry McLaurin situation we've had in a month.
Yeah, well put. And also, what a collapse by the Cowboys. Just push the dude out of bounds. What are you doing? I mean, how does that happen to a defense?
Right.
How is that? That's the one thing you cannot let happen, and you let it happen.
Well, the other thing that you can't let happen that happened is, so after that insanely exciting play, Jaden Daniels to Terry McLaurin, it's now 27-26. Cowboys with a 1-point lead, and this happened.
Hey, this is no gimme now.
He's already missed one extra point.
Yep. Had the hip injury.
It's a huge play for Rich Seibert, their kicker. And the kick's away, and the kick is wide left.
How did he miss two PATs after he nailed a 51-yarder to keep the comeback alive?
Because everybody, I mean, Kymie Fairbairn missed basically an extra point that killed the Texans. Like nobody can hit a short field goal anymore, Maggie. It's like week 12 or whatever. It's done. Kickers have. I told you what happened.
Yeah.
Justin Tucker started missing field goals, and everybody saw that. Like, well, if that guy on Baltimore is missing field goals and I can't hit him, confidence is gone. Everyone's in their head. You can even see it. The announcer right before that kick says, well, I have a bad bad feeling about this kick.
Yeah, that was Brad Sham on the Cowboys Radio Network. Yeah. And on the TV broadcast, it was Joe Davis and Greg
Greg Olson. Well, it was Olson jinxed him.
Olson even said it. He's like, well, you know, all you need is the extra point. But, and I think, like, did someone put a hex or some kind of voodoo on kickers or something this season? Because I don't have an answer. And then, so it's 27-26. And, of course, now got to line up for an onside kick. And just the icing on the cake, the onside kick. This is what it sounded like.
Here we go. Onside kick. Recover it and you win. Seibert booms it to the left. It is covered and Thomas running it back. One yay Thomas with the Cowboys' second kickoff return for a touchdown in the game.
Yeah, just and your just stomach drops out of the bottom of your torso if you're a Commander fan.
And it's interesting. So that Cowboys guy who ran the touchdown back, he was should have gone down. He actually made an 8-point game and gave the Commanders life with 14 seconds left. And Mike McCarthy was not happy. Him and him and Bones Fossil immediately got into it on the sideline. He's like, "What was that?"
Yeah,
that was actually it's so funny in the win, like. He was legitimately mad at that play because all of a sudden there's another Hail Mary attempt.
I know, but and it ended up being an interception. Game was over.
Well, it was short. They just couldn't get it. Was a 65-yard hurl. He couldn't get the answer. But it was a stupid one of the stupidest plays ever. Those teams are stupid. And that game was stupid. And that whole week was stupid.
Here is Mike McCarthy talking about that after the game.
And we got down to the end there, and it was just a game since situational extravaganza. I mean, it's just we like Yahtzee. You know, everything was in there. So just a lot of situational football, things to learn from, things we work on all the time, but you still got to execute in those spots. So excellent team win. These are the way these division games are supposed to go.
I mean, if anyone like had any nerve endings left in their body after this one, I don't know.
Yeah.
Good luck to you. But I think what happened with the with Wanye, with him scoring on the onside kick, I just think he was so shocked that he had the ball and just like saw pay dirt and went for it. Yeah, you're right. It was a dumb play.
I think that's on the coaching staff to tell people to go down, but I guess they didn't think about that scenario.
I know. Who thought he was going to run in a touchdown at that point?
I don't know. I see sophomores in college going down in that spot. That was pretty. I bet you that guy's spot is not as secure on the team as like.
You think you have your moment, right?
Like, that was like, ooh, that is like, he ain't going to be on the team next year.
First got to get cut after scoring a touchdown.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something?
I mean, even everybody knows the go down thing now. That's like very common. We're seeing that everywhere.
I think sometimes guys are going, like, stopping sometimes when they don't even need to. I think everyone is so nervous about it. Like, the Isaac Arendo did that in a 49er game earlier this year. It's like, no, score. Like, everyone's very worried about doing the wrong thing.
Well, regardless, again, this Cowboys fans rejoice. Probably going to cost you like 8 draft spots to win that terrible game yesterday. By Cooper Rush, pretty competent. They'll probably win. I think they end up with 7 wins this year. Is that? I don't know what that does for you. The 7-10 Cowboys team.
Not much.
You're just kind of there.
But that was a hell of an ending yesterday. And man, if you're the Commanders, you just. I mean, an extra point. You could have probably taken the thing to overtime, maybe, and you probably end up getting the win. Let's get to some headlines. Pat Boyle is here on this Monday. Good morning, Pat.
Morning, guys. Yeah, so hours after the Giants were done getting their teeth kicked in yet again, Saquon Barkley was putting the polish on a night that has folks saying he should be the MVP.
What a bet he gives it to Barkley. He gives it to Barkley, who cuts outside.
Uh-oh.
He's at the 40, the 50,
uh-oh,
the 40. He's going to go again. He's going to go again. Touchdown, Saquon Barkley. His all-time record, 72 yards.
Eagles radio the call. They finish off the Rams 37-20. And Saquon with a career-high 255 rushing yards. Maggie, you talked about it to start the show. Also had 4 catches for 47 yards, and here was Saquon after on being in the MVP conversation.
I love being in that conversation. It's cool and all, but like I said, it's a team sport. And if you told me that I could have the year I'm having and win MVP but not win a Super Bowl, or I could have the year I'm having and not win MVP or Offensive Player of the Year and win a Super Bowl, I'm going to take the other one.
Yeah, the one thorn in that Eagles win, they did lose veteran pass rusher Brandon Graham. He's out for the season with a torn triceps. You guys just detailed all of the big plays of one of the craziest games ever with the Cowboys when the dust settling, beating the Commanders 34-26. And I'm glad that you played Mike McCarthy talking about this game being situational Yahtzee.
I've never actually played Yahtzee.
I don't totally get the analogy either. Well, he says it's Yahtzee, meaning there's a lot of different wild things that can happen in Yahtzee. Is that what he means?
I guess. I don't know if I've ever played Yahtzee either, and if I do, I don't remember it.
Has anyone in the show played Yahtzee?
I know. I remember. Not as a kid. I think you yell Yahtzee at a certain point. Jeff. It's like you put dice in a cup and you roll them.
You have to have a certain amount of things. I don't know. Everybody that's over the age of like 60 is probably pulling their hair out right now listening to us.
Have you guys played Sorry?
I have played Sorry.
I think Yahtzee's a lot like Sorry.
Okay.
Really? Sorry's a board game.
So is Yahtzee is, I guess it's not board game, but it has dice.
No, I think Yahtzee's a, I think it's a board game too. There's a board in Yahtzee, no?
There's got to be.
I'll tell you what, I know we got Thanksgiving coming up this week. We cannot play Monopoly with my in-laws because my brother-in-law takes it way too seriously. I don't know if everyone has one of these people in their family.
Oh, my entire family's like that.
He's like going for the jugular on Monopoly. It's like not only does he want to bankrupt you, he wants to like end your, you know.
Is he Jerry Buss?
he's a business owner, and so I think something comes out of him when we play Monopoly, and he just has to destroy everybody. So
I just Google image Yahtzee. I don't see any board here.
Yeah, Yahtzee is a dice game that does not require a board.
I see paper, but no board.
I think the greatest board game of all time we can agree is Scrabble.
Well, that's different.
No,
I don't care if it's for kids. Give me Chutes and Ladders.
We have a big family game. Scattergories. We're a big Scattergories fan.
Scattergories is also fun.
And Taboo is a great one, too.
Oh, do you like that one?
Yeah.
I like Balderdash. That's also fun. You have to make up the meaning of words.
That's
like obscure words.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you need games that you could play with kids, too. So this is Balderdash a kids game? Because we're looking for a new game. I don't like Monopoly. Monopoly takes 7 hours, and eventually everyone's so tired. That,
and drunk.
Yeah, it's just annoying. It's like, oh, my God, another railroad. Fine, who cares? School. I just want this game to end.
I'm old school. Give me checkers.
You guys ever play Pick Six?
No.
Play fake. Murray's going to try to get it. He's going to run far side. He's going to dump it over the top. Intercepted. Kobe Bryant. Far sideline. He's got the blockers. 30, 25, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown. Seahawks.
Sorry, I thought that was
That was
good
like
transit.
Basically, you know, Pat Boyle just basically did the Saquon Barkley backwards hurdle over my head with that one. Congratulations, Pat.
I thought that was a good transition.
It was good.
The NFC West is still up for grabs. Seahawks put their stamp on that division yesterday. Kobe Bryant's 69-yard pick six helped the Seahawks beat the Cardinals 16-6. They're now 6-5. Arizona's 6-5. And the Niners, after getting smoked by the Packers 38-10, they're 5-6, along with the Rams. It is the tightest division in football.
How about Kobe Bryant?
How about the name?
I know. I like that call, too. It was like Mamba mentality. Said snaked his way to the end zone. I think Adam Amin was doing that game. It was very good call.
Are you pro or con naming your kids after very famous people with like famous first names?
I wouldn't do it. Just because, if anything, you're always going to be so associated with that person, it's almost like your identity is partly someone else.
Yeah.
Especially, if you can avoid it.
You get the last name, you can't do it. You can't do Kobe Bryant. He's Kobe Smith.
Yeah.
Maybe you can get away with it.
Yeah.
Spelled it differently.
Did you see Kobe Bryant did the beast mode Marshawn Lynch celebration as he was jumping into the end zone?
There's some awesome celebrations this weekend beyond just the double DeVito.
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
I felt like Saquon Barkley and A.J. Brown were going a little Broadway. I thought that like a little over rehearsed with their...
I thought you would have loved the Jahmyr Gibbs' celebration.
Which one?
He did the Allen Iverson. He did the between legs, jump shot, and step over.
Wait, is that the one where he got penalized for taunting?
No, this was the first one.
Oh.
The first one, him and Amara St. Brown played the Lou versus Iverson.
Oh, I didn't see it. That's amazing.
And then he stepped over him. It was awesome.
Yeah, just finishing the point on the Niners.
Back to Pat, yes.
I don't know. I didn't want to be an awkward silence. They got crushed by the Packers 38-10. No Trent Williams, no Brock Purdy, no Nick Bosa. Still unclear whether or not Brock Purdy will be playing quarterback next week for the San Francisco 49ers. Who do we think plays?
Nothing to see here. Yeah, it's just our quarterback is out with quote-unquote shoulder soreness.
Andrew Perlow.
This is ridiculous. I mean, this is like a quarterback of the premier team, and they're not even telling you what the injury is. What is shoulder soreness?
Okay, well, Jay
did the
Glazer.
Same song and dance for 8 weeks with Christian McCaffrey.
That's true. I don't trust the 49ers with anything on their injury report, but Jay Glazer, I do trust, said that he got an MRI after the game against the Seahawks. It showed minimal damage. He was practicing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday, it locks up on him. They got another MRI that had not been previously reported on Thursday. Still showed the same thing, like minimal damage. So they don't know what to do.
I feel like it's just maybe pack your bags and prepare for next year. Save McCaffrey's legs for one more run. I mean, what's the point? Like,
but to Pat's point, the division is so jumbled up. It's not like you're that far out of it. Yeah, you got to go to Buffalo next week. It's not going to get easier, but you're. I get that it's like 20% chance to make the playoffs, but I don't see how it's that bleak when you're only a game back in the division.
Well, they only win about like 18% of their games when Bosa doesn't play. He's like TJ Watt. Like, you can't win without Bosa, and I don't think his midsection is going to get healthy this year. Even if he plays, he's not going to last. So there's a certain point. Do you shut everybody down? I mean, realistically, if this guy's shoulder is wearing out and Bosa's got an abductor, like, at a certain point, you're just going to be like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Only God knows.
And Brandon Allen, 17 of 29, 199 yards, touchdown and an interception yesterday. McCaffrey only ran for 31 yards and had 37 receiving yards. So very pedestrian for his standards. Something that we don't have to question about an injury, Gardner Minshew, broken collarbone, done for the year. He was knocked out towards the end of the game in which the Broncos won again without turning the ball over. They beat the Raiders 29-19. One more thing, just from the earlier window yesterday, we did talk about the Giants. They got crushed by the Buccaneers 30-7. And after the game, star rookie receiver Malik Nabers visibly frustrated.
I'm tired of going out there and losing. Like, it's just that. I mean, I don't know, bro. Go out there first, second quarter, don't get the ball, start getting targets at the end. I mean, can't do nothing. Start getting the ball when it's 30-0. What you want me to do?
Yeah, also called the team soft as bleep. He did finish with 6 catches for 64 yards, but the Giants lose again. They're 2-9, 0-6 at home.
Just a laugh track on the Giants season.
I guess all you do is laugh. Saquon Barkley has an MVP night. Xavier McKinney has another interception. And meanwhile, the Giants are 2-9 and are getting smoked on a weekly basis.
Malik Nabers might be the first rookie to demand a trade.
I was thinking about that. He's been miserable since the moment he showed up.
Don't forget when Daniel Jones goes to Vegas and wins his last 4 games there, too, because that's probably happening, just to rub it in.
That was a tough night. I'm actually compiling right now a list of the top 5 most miserable people in the NFL. I think I just put the finishing touches on. Most miserable people in the NFL. We'll
Can't
get
wait
to that.
To hear this.
A lot of people to choose from. Pat, thank you so much. See you guys on the phones. You want to talk about the 49ers. You want to talk about what's coming on and what's happening this week. We have tons of college football to get to as well. Don't move. It's M&P. Kids today. Manny and EJ rocking out like it's some kind of dance club here on a Monday. Why not? 855-212-4227. Okay, lots of NFL to react to. Crazy ending. Commanders, Dallas Cowboys, crazy ending. The Vikings and the Bears. Vikings had an 11-point lead with 22 seconds left to go in the game. How did that game go to overtime? But anyway, the Vikings end up winning the game in OT. Also had a disappointing loss for the 49ers in Green Bay. Very banged up 49ers squad. Leland is our resident 49er fan in Sacramento. Leland, have you called it on the season?
I think so. You know, there's just too many missed tackles in their first quarter. You know, Chase Senior of Chat Sports, he reported 15 tackles in the first quarter, but I got 10. No defensive creativity from Nick Sorensen. Deebo Samuel, 2 drop passes. I was really hoping that Tabor Pepper would catch him on camera walking up to Deebo Samuel telling him to lock in. But
that's the long snapper who Deebo choked a couple weeks ago. Where was that, in Tampa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he walked up to him and, like, you know, hit him in the throat, actually. So I was hoping to see a little drama. It didn't happen. But, you know, the 49ers are playing like a team without a heart. Mm. And here's an example of it. In the fourth quarter, there's a defensive back, a safety, Evan Williams, number 33. He laid a hit on Juwan Jennings like I've never seen.
Yep.
They threw the ball off to the left side. It was like three minutes and some seconds left in the game. And it was the most ferocious tackle on Juwan Jennings I've ever seen. And there was no fight in Juwan Jennings. He just kind of like got hit and laid down. And to me, Maggie and Perloff, they're playing with a heart. I don't think they believe that they could even win when they went. So next week they're going to the Bills' house. They're going to get destroyed. And I think you called it earlier, Perloff, it's a time to rebuild. They need to get rid of all these expensive, highly priced players. Trent Williams needs to go. Deebo Samuel needs to go. You were maybe saying save McCaffrey's legs for another year. He might be done.
Yeah, he looks bad.
Leland, but wait, not looking great. I get it, but
actually, Leland, I said running back one more time. I didn't say rebuild, but you're actually what you say makes a lot more sense.
No, I mean, I think the Debo and Leland. Thank you for the call. The Debo, Kittle.
But Debo's done.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Trent Williams though, that's somebody who I'm not giving up on that guy yet because you already gave him a little extra money for this year, and he just might be hurt. Like, you know, he obviously is. He missed the game, but I wouldn't give up on that guy. So
also, I would want to bring back Kittle. Kittle is still there.
He was still good yesterday. Total weapon.
There was a play where Brandon Allen threw it behind Juwan Jennings, and Juwan Jennings clearly, like, he just gave up. He's like, he looked so upset. And this is Juwan Jennings. I mean, he's not exactly the star on that team. He's probably right now their best receiver, but yeah, I think you run it back one more time. We've argued about this for a long time.
Yeah.
Is the window closed? And I mean, this year's window, I think, is closed. But I think, why don't you rest McCaffrey? He's obviously injured. Maybe he has one more last gasp in him sometime down the road.
Well, but here's the thing, right? Like, if you're not going to play McCaffrey in this game, it already seemed like they kind of waved the white flag. Oh. I mean, now you're really waving the white flag if you don't have McCaffrey.
Is that the white flag? Because I saw Jordan Mason run. It looked twice as fast as McCaffrey on the first carry. McCaffrey is... he's useless. He's averaging 3.5 yards a carry. He just doesn't look explosive, or the line's not blocking for him. Something's totally wrong there.
But maybe that's us. Like, maybe we, you know, the guy was hurt all season. He had Achilles tendonitis that ended up being one leg and migrating to the other leg because he was favoring it so much. So now he's dealing with two lower body injuries as a running back. Had to fly to Germany to try to get God knows what shot up in him or what have you. And we expected him to come back and look exactly like the McCaffrey of last year. Maybe that was stupid on our part.
So why isn't Kyle Shanahan playing the other running backs? I just don't get it. Since he's come back, they've scored 20 points in a narrow win over Tampa Bay. They lost 20-17 to Seattle and scored 10 points yesterday. Like, their offense is stuck in mud.
Listen, I don't think you can really judge the 49ers by yesterday. They were missing players at every key spot, including your quarterback, your left tackle, your best pass rusher. Like, what did we think was going to happen? You're going to play the Packers in Lambeau. They were never going to win that game.
I totally agree, yeah. When we had Nick Costas on Friday, and we were talking about how they were setting the line.
Yeah, how to bet that game.
And it's interesting because they tried to set the line in between. That whole thing feels weird about Brock Purdy being on track to play, then not playing, and then going out 2 days early. It's almost as if they gave up that on that game. They're like, we're not going to win this game. Let's try and come back. But going cross country at night to Buffalo, that's their plan for their big last stand. If they go to 5-7, it's going to be tough.
You can't help how the schedule lays out. My question, and I don't know if they've said this yet, is usually when the 49ers have to come to the East Coast, they'll kind of stay back-to-back if they're in, not East Coast, but like East Coast time or in the Midwest. They'll usually stay in the Midwest. They won't go all the way back to California just to fly all the way back to the East Coast. They're really good about that.
Well, they were in Green Bay, but yeah.
Yeah, but or Midwest or East Coast. But like, what do you do with this week because it's Thanksgiving? So are you really going to keep guys in a hotel in Ohio somewhere, or are you going to actually fly back to San Francisco, let people at least be a little bit with their families before they'd fly to Buffalo for a Sunday night game? I don't know.
I would hope. I mean, you're in Wisconsin. I would hope you let them go home for Thanksgiving, especially because there's not a lot riding on this anymore.
I mean, I get that. And it's not a 1 o'clock game, which would be like the body clock type of game. It's a Sunday night game, but still.
I think, you know, you say all that about there's still like 50 options on offense. When Bosa is out, this defense, I don't know. I keep asking, like, where is the defense from 2022? Like, what happened? Just attrition of talented players, coaching. Why did they hire Robert Saleh? Get him in.
He's with Green Bay. They scooped him up in Green Bay. I think it's because they ended, you know, it's like a drip, drip, drip. Like, you lose a guy here, you lose a guy there. Drake Greenlaw goes down with an Achilles. You obviously trade away DeForest Buckner. You know, you have some injuries in the secondary, and all of a sudden, what's Fred Warner supposed to do if he's a one-man band
He has famously fallen off a cliff. Like, he's gone down to mediocre, according to Pro Football Focus. He's not the same either.
Which is crazy. That's just a little of what's going on with the 49ers. You're welcome to weigh in at 855-212-4227. Are you keeping hope alive that they're a playoff team this year? I mean, we thought they were a Super Bowl contender. That's way out the window. Okay, we mentioned it. College football taking center stage over the weekend. Upsets galore. three teams in the top 10 go down. We'll talk about it next.